Back here for the Week 15 pregame edition of the Horse and Round podcast. I'm Andrew Mace of DenverBroncos.com and Orange and Blue 760. You can listen to me every weekday, Monday through Friday, with Steve Atwater and Ryan Edwards on 1st and 10 at 10. Joined, as always, by Andy Lindahl of Columbus and Lindahl, 7 to 10 a.m., Orange and Blue 760 every weekday. Andy, short week. We still found a little time.
Yeah, it's it's an interesting week. Andrew, I don't know. We know how the fans feel about it, and a lot of the fans, although, you know what, I will say I'm impressed with the Orange and Blue 760 listeners, because a lot of them have come out and said, no, let's just win. And, you know, I'm trying to be delicate or sensitive maybe to both sides. I get it. You know, it wasn't too long ago that, matter of fact, I'll put it to you this way. If this were 5 to 7 years ago, I would be more in the camp of just go ahead and lose. Let's get the higher draft choice, secure the proper position, on and on and on. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
After talking to Tyler Palumbus in particular, after talking to Steve Atwater in particular, and after seeing the evolution of the college game to the point where it is such a crapshoot trying to figure out what quarterback's NFL ready, and I'll talk a little bit more about that. I want to get your thoughts on it as well in just a second. I really believe, and Tyler, I'm going to drive the point home, because Tyler's been so adamant about this, and even John Elway backed it up to me on Orange and Blue 760 earlier this week. Losing is not good for your culture. Losing is not good for your football team. Now, do I want them out of the top 10? No, not necessarily. If you could win another one, maybe, you know, at least one more before the year's over, I'm good with that. I don't need you to win out. I would like to see another victory. But it is more important to me that it doesn't become a culture of losing, which I think they've done a great job of avoiding since Josh McDaniels left. That I know the fans want to see a top five pick. I know that leads to some excitement in April, and for a lot of fans, that's sort of the dessert that's not so bad after a rough meal that's been this season. But I just think, you know, Andrew, it's just tough. I feel like this team does have a real good shot to win two games in five, 7 days, and I think that's important.
Yeah, that's something that Vance Joseph has hit on the last week or so, that this was an opportunity to get two wins in 5 days. And certainly we've seen how just one win has changed the entire mood and atmosphere around Broncos headquarters the last couple of days. It's, you know, as if the clouds have parted, the sun is shining again over the UC Health Training Center. And to get into the culture discussion, I'm going to take a game from last Sunday and bring it into focus with the Broncos and where they stand. Browns-Packers. Cleveland's got a 2-score lead. You think, okay, this might be the day. They might get off the proverbial schneid, get that first win of the season. Green Bay, you know, they've had a mediocre year. They're coming in 500. Brett Hundley replacing Aaron Rodgers. He's been scattershot and inconsistent, some good moments, some bad moments. But when Green Bay starts stringing some plays together and starts its comeback, you got the sense, whether it was from the players or the thousands of fans, and Packers had quite a few fans there, as they always do when they go on the road, that every Packers fan even believed that their team was going to come back and win that game, and every Browns fan believed their team was going to find a way to blow it.
Yeah.
And that's culture.
Yeah.
The Packers, even without Aaron Rodgers, have a winning culture. That's a quarter century plus going back to when Ron Wolf started piecing together that team in the 1990s, you know, bringing in, you know, Brett Favre and Reggie White and all the pieces that end up winning a world championship in 1996, and the ability to sustain that through coaches and GMs, and the transition from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers, of course, having those quarterbacks certainly helps you out.
Right.
But the Packers have a sustained winning culture over the long haul. That, I mean, you look at how Green Bay has been able to wiggle its way out of some tough situations to make the playoffs a few times in recent years when it looked like in mid-November, late November, they were done. That's why you can't count them out right now sitting at 7-6, even though if the postseason started right now, they'd be on the outside looking in. They get Aaron Rodgers back. Yeah, they got a tough ending stretch here with Carolina, Minnesota, and Detroit, but who knows? They have a winning culture. Their sideline, their coaches, their fans sitting in Cleveland on Sunday all believed they were going to win. And you could just see it in the eyes, in the slumping shoulders of the Cleveland players and the fans. They all believed they were going to find a way to lose. And look, I grew up a Bucks fan when that team was down, having 14 straight losing seasons. I know from the fan perspective, I know what that feels like because I saw that and experienced that from the stands in Tampa, how that losing culture can just eat you up, and you believe that the banana peel is always lurking around the corner. That's a losing culture, and that's why it's important to win games whenever you can. Hey, you can have a bad season and still have a winning culture, but the key is isolating it. And the Broncos, one reason they have a long-term sustained winning culture is that the bad years have been isolated. They have not had consecutive losing seasons since 1971-72. That's part of a winning culture.
But you know what I think is funny? You bring up the Packers, and you talked about Favre. You talked about Rodgers. Neither were top five picks.
Mm-hmm.
You traded for Brett Favre in an afterthought. The backup to Don Majkowski. We all remember the game he came in, had a brutal first half and kind of got going. And you know what? History is what history is. And Aaron Rodgers was picked, what, 23rd, 25th, something like that, by the Packers?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just is what it is. It is what it is, and you either find the guy or you don't. And, yeah, I mean, look, the last time the Broncos picked in the top five, I can remember twice since I've been a Bronco fan, which is my whole life. In what, 1991, I guess, when they drafted Mike Kroll,
mm-hmm.
who had a very good rookie year and then never was heard from again. They got him number four overall, the mm-hmm. linebacker out of Nebraska. And then, of course, Von Miller at number two, which has been outstanding. Two very different stories. But again, no guarantee of success just because you're picking high. And so I think the fans do have to understand. I mean, I talked to John Elway. Of all the guys we talked to today, I understand the fans like to talk about it, but Andrew, you and I both know. I mean, I asked for the fans, even if we would see Paxton Lynch against when I got a chance to talk to Vance Joseph. And the guy wrote me back, and he goes, well, you really slanted the question. Yeah, I know the answer. If they win, they're not switching quarterbacks. That's the reality of the situation. Why? The coach wants to win every game. The players want to win every game. We talked about this. Mm-hmm. Not a single person in that locker room cares about next year. Because the less you win, the less likely a bunch of you are coming back for next year.
They're all
that
fighting.
That is the NFL.
They're all fighting for their jobs.
And the only guy I felt comfortable even sort of asking the question to, and you and I both know how competitive this dude is, his competitive nature is of legend, is John Elway. Why? Because John Elway is the guy that gets to make the pick. And so, yes, maybe whether you win or lose affects where he gets to make the pick. But John Elway is not about losing anything at any time. I mean, I've heard stories of this guy having problems over pinochle games or whatever you want to call it. He's not giving you a chance at horseshoes if he can. His competitive nature is legendary. I've had his old teammates tell me what made John special was he's always there at the end. You're never going to wear him out. He's always waiting on you. He's always waiting for his shot. There's no way he's going to endorse losing.
And remember, you're already at the point now where you're not going to finish better than 7-9. So you're already at the point where if you've identified a guy that you want and he's at the top of the draft, you can go get him.
Yep.
Ask Philadelphia about that. They were 7-9 going into the draft when Carson Wentz was available. And they said, Wentz is our guy. And they went up to number two. It wasn't cheap, but they said, that's our guy. We're going to hitch our wagon to his star. And certainly it's worked out well. Obviously, an extremely tough break for them, losing him to a torn ACL last Sunday. But you have no doubt that the Eagles are going in the right direction with Carson Wentz. So you're already in the position where if you've identified a guy that's your franchise-changing guy and he's at the top of the draft, you can go get him. You have the ability to make that happen. You're close enough to where the price isn't unreasonable.
Okay, so let me throw this at you because during this week, Todd McShay came out with his mock draft,
mm-hmm.
all right? And he had, you probably have seen it, but he had at number five, the Broncos taking Josh Allen. So Ryan Edwards was in there doing a little bit of work as Tyler got ready to jump on the plane and head to Indianapolis a little bit early today. And I was talking to Ryan Edwards, but he and Steve Atwater and I, we were just missing Mace, or it would have been an extension of first and 10 to 10 on Orange and Blue 760. Mm-hmm. But we were chatting about the quarterback class, and you and Ryan definitely pay a lot more attention to the college scene than I do. I'm an NFL guy. I have seen Sam Darnold because I did the CU game against him.
Mm-hmm.
I I think the UNC kid, Jacob Knipp, is it? I think he's kind of intriguing. Not a high draft choice necessarily guy, but the Northern Colorado kid is really, I thought he was an impressive young man for what we saw against CU as well. But here's my point. I can't tell you because as I read an article from Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports a week ago, he talked about how when you look at the top guys in the class, Sam Rosen, some of the scouts are wondering about his attitude. Is he too aloof? Is he too much a party guy? Is he too much, you know, whatever? Darnold, they're worried about the long delivery, I guess. Everybody's got something about somebody is, I guess, my point, Andrew. So I'm going to ask you, is there that must-have guy on this draft board, in your opinion? Because it's I don't know that there is an Andrew Luck. And we hope there's a Carson Wentz, something Josh Allen is that. But we don't know. So do you think there's a must-have guy on this draft board?
I don't think there's a slam dunk like Andrew Luck. I do think that there's potentially something for everybody. Now, Josh Allen hasn't yet turned pro. He hasn't yet made that announcement. And the same is true for Josh Rosen. And, of course, Sam Darnold's still up in the air. So
and he's playing coy because of Cleveland, yeah. Right, Darnold?
That's the rumor. That's what's being speculated about with Sam Darnold. I think only he knows that at this point. So this quarterback class is still in something of a state of flux at this point. You know, look, you know Baker Mayfield's going to be in the mix. You know that Mason Rudolph out of Oklahoma State's going to be in the mix. Both of those guys have a lot of intriguing aspects to them. Both of those guys also are going to have to make the adjustment from schemes that aren't necessarily analogous to the pro game. And so that's something you're going to have to watch as you study them and as we discuss them over the next few months.
Well, it's going to be an intriguing question, and you and I well know. I'd said it on the air. I'll say it again here on the podcast, Andrew. I'll be shocked if any other position is mocked for this team the rest of the way. The rest of the way. We all know that everybody that does a mock draft from now until April, unless they were to sign Kirk Cousins or make a trade for some quarterback we're not thinking of right now, maybe it's Garoppolo, I don't really know. Unless they do that, I don't expect to see a mock until April that has them picking anything else other than a quarterback in the first round. Can I ask you something? And it's so interesting because you talk about character stuff and we've talked about Baker Mayfield and so on and so forth. But I mean, what honestly, if I had to pin you down today without the combine, without seeing some of the skill set up close, what is he for you? Because I've heard for some, he's the best. Like your partner Ryan thinks he's the best in the class. That's his guy. But for others, you and I both know Drew Brees is a Hall of Fame quarterback that started the second round as the pick of the San Diego Chargers. Somehow they found a way to get LaDainian Tomlinson and Drew Brees, and it was on the strength of the fact that Drew Brees wasn't much above 6 foot tall, and the NFL doesn't like that. So what do you ultimately think happens to Baker Mayfield because of the size, if nothing else?
Well, I think he settles somewhere in the first round. Where that goes, it depends on some other factors. What if he goes down to the Senior Bowl? If he went down to the Senior Bowl, he could roll the dice and move his way up because then he could be in a pro-style offense for a week and everyone could see him running that and see how he adapted to and how he learned on a day-to-day basis. Things with Baker Mayfield that I like, he does pro things in terms of looking off the safeties, getting to the second and third read, climbing the pocket.
Throws to a spot too, right?
Yes.
Not throwing to receivers, turning around.
Right. Throws to a spot, leads his receivers, throws his receivers open. His preparation in terms of his film study, working extra, is meticulous. He does the things that you want your quarterback to do. And, you know, you can debate, you know, the gesture that he had that in the Kansas game that got him suspended for a possession. But his teammates respond to his leadership. And he's got that background as a walk-on. So he's got – I love the chip on the shoulder. Sort of like Rod Smith being undrafted, coming in. He had the chip on his shoulder his entire career. I like that in Baker Mayfield. I'm a big fan of Baker Mayfield. He has the feel. I mean, when he's under pressure, under a pass rush, he responds well to it. There are a lot of positive attributes with Baker Mayfield. I love watching him, and I think he's going to translate.
Well, we're going to have a lot of time to talk about quarterbacks, especially on this podcast. I don't have to tell you that. You'll be the ringleader of telling me what exactly we see down at the Senior Bowl, so on and so forth. Let's talk about some of the moves, man. I mean, you and I did so many podcasts talking about the schedule in the offseason. and it was a great source of fun, you know,
because
topic
you
matter.
Complained about it. You were whining. Oh, this is schedule. I will say,
hey,
this,
has it had its effect or not there, Andrew Mason?
It did.
Has it had its effect or not?
It did have an effect.
Then leave me alone. George is getting upset. Hey, here's the deal. You and I both thought, I will say this, there's a part of me, I don't know how to say this. Do I wish this game meant something? You absolutely bet I wish it did. But there's a part of me that's almost glad it doesn't, because I think the Broncos got such a raw deal in this situation. This, when you talk about my little whining about the schedule, well, this is one of the things that really was poking the scab. Because I'll tell you what, the fact that you've got the road game against what could have been, and, you know, I know we don't go off what could have been, but Indy and Denver at the start of the year, you thought that's going to be a game for some kind of playoff position. Mm-hmm. And not only does Denver have to travel to what is now the Eastern time zone, right? Two time zones away to an out-of-division opponent? Don't make anybody do that.
Well, it's always the Eastern time zone. They just, for a while, they just did not go on daylight savings time. So at this time of the year, Indianapolis is always 2 hours ahead. Now they're also 2 hours ahead in the summer. For a while, they were only 1 hour ahead.
Well, it's annoying to me. I just think the Broncos, if you have to play a Thursday game, you get it. Everybody has to. But I just think making them play an out-of-division matchup on a Thursday night, two time zones away, you couldn't have given them a worse deal.
Yeah.
And it annoys me. Now, it doesn't mean anything, and that's fine, but I hope we don't see something like that next year.
I will say this. If you had to play a non-divisional opponent on Thursday night, better to have it be a team with which you're quite familiar, like the Colts. You've played them on an annual basis plus a playoff game for the last now five seasons. So you know them well.
All right, you're my oracle. All right, you're my little go-to source for information.
This I know. But I received your text.
he says slightly smugly. Here's the thing. Why is Indy, do you have any reason why Indy, even good or bad, is one of those places the Broncos don't play well? Couldn't do it with John Elway. Couldn't do it with Jake Plummer. Couldn't do it with Peyton Manning, some of their most successful quarterbacks. Indy is to Denver what Miami is to the Patriots. Do you have any explanation why some places, because here's the thing, the Indy teams have changed, and the funny thing about the Patriots' struggles in Miami, it's not like the same Dolphins team is beating the Patriots. It's been a mishmash of quarterbacks, coaches, rosters, whatever. Why do some teams just have struggles in certain cities?
Well, Peyton Manning had a lot to do with it when he was with the Colts.
Okay, but it didn't help when he switched sides, Andrew.
They all said
Andrew. Not there.
They had Andrew Luck doing well. Andrew Luck had the most gallant performance of his career in that 2015 game, taking shot after shot after shot and delivering one on-time accurate pass after another. In all the years, I don't think I've seen more than five or six more courageous performances by a quarterback than the one that Andrew Luck delivered against the Broncos back in November of 2015. That was transcendent. Tip my cap to him. Deserves all the credit in the world.
Real quickly, is that the last time we saw the Andrew Luck we all know and love?
I don't think
he's been the same since.
Yeah.
Because they beat him up. And remember, he had the kidney problem.
Right.
And that was that for him.
He played through that injury that day. That it's remarkable what he dealt with that day.
And 2016, Andrew Luck was told to stay in the pocket and don't get hurt again.
Yeah. So that had something to do with it. But I know something that you think about because you've been a Bronco fan your entire life.
You bring it up, aren't you? Halloween?
Yes.
Look, jerk.
It was the beginning of the end of Joe Collier's defensive coordinator.
Well, all I know 50, is I still have
55 on the board.
I have nightmares of Eric Dickerson in his full little. He was pretty when he got into full, you know,
full gallop
style. Yeah, I mean, he was. There's no denying it. And so,
but that was a rough night. Yeah. Wasn't that the game?
Oh, I remember.
Wasn't that the game where Frank Gifford, Al Michaels, and Dan Dierdorf, they were holding up the masks of each other, so they were pretending to be each other.
Probably.
Yeah.
I mean, probably, I don't
kind
know.
Kind of a
who
Three
knows.
Stooges act that they had going on.
Yeah, you know, look, those guys, I want to love them but can't because they also called the Montana versus Elway Chiefs Bronco matchup.
But anyway, but this is my point.
Make your point.
Okay.
About the Colts.
There was also a 1985 game the Broncos played in Indianapolis and won. Then they lost the game in 88. Denver goes back there in that frustrating 1990 season and wins 27-17.
Do you know who the running back was?
In 1990?
Yeah.
For the Broncos?
Yeah. They were injured. So this guy was not meant to be the go-to
guy. It wasn't Bobby Humphrey.
Nope.
Melvin Bratton was fullback, right?
I think. Oh, you'll never get it.
So it's not a Sammy Winder. It's not a Steve Sewell.
I believe they were both injured. That's how we got to the bad 1990.
Who was it?
If I told you a young, feisty running back out of Michigan State.
Blake Ezor?
Yes!
Oh!
I knew if I'd give you the college, you would come away too soon. But initially, I had to at least give you the college. But the fact that you knew the name.
Only one hint. Not bad. Okay.
There's the smugness. There it is again.
But here's the thing, Andy. Denver doesn't go to Indianapolis again until January 6th of 02, the game that got postponed because of 9/11 and moved to the end of that season. And so the Colts have their struggles through much of the 90s until Peyton Manning arrives. But the quirk of the schedule back then, when you didn't have non-division opponents regimented regularly into the schedule, means that the Broncos don't go back to the then Hoosier / RCA Dome until Peyton Manning is four seasons into his career. So I don't know if we're having the same discussion about Indianapolis being this house of horrors for the Broncos if they have the opportunity to go play in Indy when the Colts are down.
Here's the thing. My childhood memories are my childhood memories, and all this little counseling you're trying to give me is not going to change it. So hopefully they go and they get a win this weekend. But if they don't on Thursday against Jacoby Brissett and the group, I'm going to be disappointed. Here's the thing, though.
You've got to snap this road losing streak.
Well, I agree with
you. Not just in Indy. I mean the road losing streak in general.
Well, we talked about this because Steve Atwater raised his eyebrow to me during the week when I said, I'm not confident. I don't know what else to say. I'm not confident they can get a road win. I'm sorry. They've been like the Rockies and the Nuggets when it comes to, and even the Avs. I don't know what it is with the Colorado teams. One thing at home and another thing on the road. And what we've been on the road this year has not been pleasant to watch more often than not. The shutout, first shutout comes against the LA Chargers. Inexplicable things going on against the Bills. The Chiefs are the Chiefs, and I hate that stadium anyway, so I could do without ever seeing it again.
And the Dolphins game just burned the film.
Oh, yeah. Well, frankly, same with the Eagles game. But at least the Eagles were the number one seed in the NFC. The Dolphins, although the Dolphins then turn around and do some against the Patriots. My point being, you're right. It would be good to see them have some road success. And frankly, of the two road games left, I put a higher percentage of success coming against the Colts in a night game than having to deal with yet another 11 o'clock local time start when they visit the Redskins on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, but here's the thing with Washington. We'll talk more about them next week. They actually have more players on IR right now than wins in the last 24 months. 18 players on IR. That team is beat to shreds right now.
Well, but here's what I'm curious about for this week, and I don't know if you have any experience with it. Maybe you don't. I tried to see if Tyler did. Tyler's never dealt with this scenario. I am always curious how a team responds. I'm going to be really fascinated to monitor the energy level of the Indianapolis Colts on Thursday night for this reason. They just got done playing in one of those cold, the most snow built up on a field that I've ever seen in a football game. Watching LeSean McCoy kick snow out of his way on his game-winning touchdown run in overtime. I mean, it really drove home. Holy cow, they're playing in 6-8 inches of snow out there, it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't just one of these snow games where you get a little dusting on the field. I mean, it was legit thick, heavy snow, and I wonder how much more tiring that is for those guys now as they get ready to face a Thursday game.
And that's East Coast heavy, wet snow. That isn't champagne powder of Colorado.
What do they call it? Lake effects in Michigan and all that?
Yeah. Coming off Lake Erie. With Buffalo, usually they get their biggest snowstorms in the fall because once Lake Erie freezes over close to Buffalo, that's when the storms stop. But they usually have these narrow bands that come over the Buffalo area, and they're so narrow that sometimes one part of the Buffalo area will be sitting under a foot of snow, and then you'll go 10 miles north, and it'll be 2 or 3 inches. they're hyper-localized snow bands.
So do you think those kind of conditions could add to a little extra wear and tear, the cold, the running in the snow? I mean, we don't know. But
yeah, we'll find out Thursday. Now, Frank Gore touched the football an awful lot, 36 carries, the most ever by a running back that old. And considering the conditions, did very well. But you wonder how much he's going to have left. We talked with Andrew Walker of Colts.com on Orange and Blue 760 this week. He still expects Gore to get about 15 carries or so. But at the same time, a name to watch is going to be Marlon Mack, who is Gore's understudy right now and is probably going to be their primary back next year. Very productive back at South Florida last year. Is pretty good catching passes out of the backfield. That would be the matchup that I would watch on Thursday night that could cause some problems, but I think we'll see quite a bit of Marlon Mack on Thursday night.
Yeah, it is really going to be interesting, Andrew. What do you make of, what's your take on the Broncos not, being able to watch game tape? I know Vance Joseph, I thought it ended up, to me, it's a funny story when he says, it's just so snowy, we can't really get anything out of it. I don't overreact to it because you still have six games and beyond to watch of this team. You know what they are.
You can get their scheme and tendencies from the other games. That game, given the conditions, you had to throw it out because the snow piled up, like you mentioned, 6 to 8 inches on the ground, so much that it changed the speed of the game, slowed it down. It was like watching, you know, in terms of speed, it went from the NFL to kind of a lower-level college game in terms of the speed. Now, you've obviously got big guys, powerful guys involved with it, but everyone had to adapt to the conditions so much that you can't really draw much from what they're doing. Certainly, they changed their play calling as a result. That's why Frank Gore carried the ball 36 times. So not much you can draw from that. You had some guys that played great games that haven't had games like that all year. You had some guys that have played brilliantly all year that struggled in those conditions. You can't really draw anything from it. It was interesting from a spectating perspective, and it will be memorable for everyone involved with it. And I'm sure there will be some award-winning photography from that game, but from a film study perspective, cross it off, move on.
Okay, quick notes here. Touch on a couple more things, and then we'll get out of here and hear from CJ Anderson. But real quickly, Justin Simmons to the IR. As of right now, we don't have the announcement at the recording of this podcast. We don't have the announcement of who is taking his place. Just a general press release saying Justin Simmons' ankle's putting him on IR. Any guesses as to who takes his spot? We saw a tight end added yesterday. A tit for tat as the Giants took the young receiver from the Broncos. The Broncos went and took Matt Lacoste off their practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
So Hunter Sharp, of course, now a Giant coming off the Broncos practice squad. Any guesses, if you had to, as to who might take the position of Justin Simmons on the roster?
Well, you've got Diamante Thomas, this rookie safety out of Michigan, on the practice squad. And this is strictly a numbers game. You've got Jamal Carter battling the shoulder injury they suffered on Sunday. So you need another safety. So I would expect Thomas to be there on the roster when the Broncos play Thursday night and provide some depth there. But you're going to lean on Will Parks quite a bit. And Simmons going to IR, Ron Leary going to IR with the back issue. You know, these are the types of things you see when the season is done, when you have it going like this. And if there's any doubt, shut the player down, get him healthy for next year, get a look at somebody else, like you're going to get a look at Matt Lacoste over the next few weeks. Don't put that player under any unnecessary risk going down the stretch, considering that while you want to win these games, these are relatively low-leverage games compared to the types of games that you want to be playing next year because you want to be back in the playoff mix, ensuring that this year is just a blip in Broncos history.
Okay, really the only important question Bronco fans care about, are you hitting St. Elmo's in Indy?
Gonna try to. We'll see.
Little steak, little shrimp. You know what? So you just gave me the look. There's your smugness again. You're kind of like my food guy and football oracle all at once. What do you got? You kind of gave me the look like there's something better than that.
No.
You're not going to that tourist trap.
No, I will. I always do. I love the shrimp cocktail.
What's the name of the sister restaurant next to
Harry and Izzy's? Manning.
Really, what's wrong with that one?
That's a great one. Peyton Manning is a co-owner.
Well, and that's one where you get the same menu in a less, stuffy atmosphere in my mind.
Yeah. but sometimes you like stuffy.
Oh, you are all about the stuffy, aren't you? You're like, you're stuffy as a librarian, aren't you? Aren't you?
I don't know about that. I've known some loquacious librarians.
Okay, what?
Anyway, we've got CJ Anderson here. I talked with him on Monday just about how this week, a short week, Thursday Night Football, is different from normal weeks because you've got to compress your preparation in terms of film study and rest and recovery and all that, and give that a listen.
Really tough. You really got to cram it in. You really have to, you know, take what the coach has been. They've probably been here since 6-7 in the morning. You take up what they have, and you know, you watch the cut-ups, you got to go home and watch extra tape. And you know, the good thing about Thursday's nights is you can have those 12 a.m., 1 a.m., 2 a.m. Study sessions, you know, watching tape, get to know a team, because you get to sleep in a little bit because we come in later for practice. So that's a good thing, but it's tough. I'm still trying to figure out. It's my fifth year in the league, and I'm still trying to figure out what's the best way to prepare for Thursday night.
Do you feel like you know your foe less in the end, or do you feel like you manage to get caught up?
Well, usually this one's different.
Because it's not a division.
Because it's not a division team. Usually with a division team, you know. Yeah. So, you know, it helps. This one's a little different, but this one's not so much different because I played the Colts. You know, if I had to sit here and count, this might be my third or fourth or fifth time playing the Colts in my career. So, I think I played them every year in my career. So, and I played them twice 1 year in my career. So, you know, I definitely know what Coach Pagano and stuff are always trying to do to us, and you know his scheme and what it does. So that helps. You know, the fact that you do play a team that you've played before helps. But for those teams, like I think New England played Tampa Bay, they don't never see each other.
Yeah.
So I know that was probably tough on them.
How about the physical recovery though? As far I remember, Richard Sherman kind of writing about it that your body's only at a certain point by Thursday, but you've got to get back out there and play.
Yeah, it's
not there.
You know, a lot of us are short today. There's things that you can try to do to speed that recovery up, but you know, by the end of the day, you won't be 100%. You know, later in the year, earlier in the year, you know, when we played Kansas City week two, you're fine.
Yeah.
You know, last year we got the Chargers like week seven. You know, you're not in that bad period, but you're in that okay period, but. This one here, you know, week 15, your body is feeling it. So you won't be 100%, but, you know, I guess that's a part of us being professionals, trying to get our body ready to play week to week.
And, I mean, you said, like, yeah, the game is late, but you can't sleep it off. You can't sleep an extra hour or two because you've got to make up for it in film preps.
Yeah, and that's what makes it tough. You know, you don't get too much to sleep in because you got to make it up. And even on the game, the day of the game, you know, when you usually don't watch film on Sunday because you should have the team down by Saturday. Even the day of the game this Thursday, you know, we'll have to take some time and watch a little bit more tape. So everybody's different. My goal is to cram as much as I can and possible going into Wednesday. Then hopefully by Wednesday night when I wake up Thursday morning, if I got to refresh, I will. But hopefully by Thursday morning. I know what the Colts do, and the good thing that helps is I got old notes on the Colts, you know, and it's been the same coach, same players over there. Well, not different players, but same scheme over there for the last 5 years I've been in the league, so that helps too.
Thanks, CJ. Thank you for listening. For Andy Lindahl, I'm Andrew Mason. We'll talk to you next time on the Horsing Around Podcast.